They're being called the Panama Papers, an extraordinary leak of information about how the global elite hides money overseas. This is already rocking the Kremlin and the corridors of power in Beijing. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's a law firm in Panama that helps people set up offshore financial accounts, often to keep money secret. Somebody has leaked nearly four decades of client information from that firm. Journalists working in more than two dozen languages have been going through the leaked data. Our partners at the BBC got an early look at these Panama Papers. Here's the BBC's Simon Cox.
The leak penetrates the secretive world of offshore finance and one of its biggest players, Mossack Fonseca, which has set up hundreds of thousands of offshore companies. The files were obtained by the German newspaper Süddeutsche Zeitung and shared with the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists and other media organisations, including the BBC. The documents show a suspected billion-dollar money laundering ring run by a Russian bank, which was subject to US and EU sanctions, involving close associates of President Putin. The identities of more than 70 current and former heads of state are in the files. Mossack Fonseca says offshore companies are used for a variety of legitimate purposes and that its firm has operated beyond reproach.
Among those implicated are several top figures close to China's government. Marketplace's China correspondent Rob Schmitz has been looking into this angle. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, David.
What do we know so far about important Chinese people who are mentioned in these Panama leaks?
Well, what we know so far from this document leak is that at least eight current and former officials among China's top leadership are linked to offshore deals to hide millions of dollars. All of them are or have been members of China's Politburo Standing Committee, the country's top ruling body.
How close does this actually get to the boss?
Pretty close. According to the documents, the president's brother-in-law, Deng Jiagui, ran two shell companies based in the British Virgin Islands in 2009. This was back when Xi Jinping was vice president. But by the time that Xi had become China's president, both of these companies were dormant. Now, the other Chinese leaders involved include the family of Li Peng, probably one of the least popular premiers in recent memory. That's due to his role in ordering the military crackdown on pro-democracy student protesters in Tiananmen Square back in 1989. According to the leaked documents, Li's daughter, Li Xiaolin, was the sole shareholder of an offshore shell company while he served as premier. And then the other two families involved in this include China's fourth-ranked leader up until a few years ago, Jia Qinglin, and the family of Bo Xilai, who you might remember is currently serving a life sentence in prison for corruption after his wife was convicted of murdering a British business partner a few years ago.
Rob, how are these Panama Papers playing? How's the story playing in China so far?
Well, to put it simply, it's not. China's government has blocked all coverage of its leaders' involvement in all this. Internet searches are being blocked. State media has devoted some coverage to the Panama leaks, but it focuses sort of on Vladimir Putin's involvement and that of other world leaders, conveniently ignoring the shell companies and hidden assets of its own leadership, and also ignoring the role that Hong Kong institutions played in hiding all of this money. Banks and law firms in Hong Kong, according to leaks, were heavily used by foreign leaders to help hide their money.
You don't have to look far for irony here. I mean, China is currently cracking down on corruption within its own ranks.
Right. And that's probably the most interesting implication to come out of this. You know, Xi Jinping has been by far the Chinese leader in modern times most devoted to cracking down on corrupt officials. More than 300,000 party officials in China have been punished for corruption since he launched this campaign. And the fact that at least one member of his family is known to have run a shell company to hide family money is not going to help him at all. Xi Jinping has made a lot of enemies in this campaign, and he's received a fair amount of criticism for his handling of China's lackluster economy in the past years. And this news will likely serve as ammunition for those who are frustrated by both his political and his economic policies.
From Shanghai Marketplace's China correspondent Rob Schmitz. Rob, thank you.
Thanks, David.
In Britain, several members of parliament have turned up in this leaked data, so is the prime minister's father. And Iceland's prime minister is facing calls for a sudden general election after walking out of an interview when questioned about tax havens. $9.25 a month. The Federal Communications Commission in Washington is banking on that amount, a subsidy, to help more low-income people get faster internet. Last week, the FCC approved plans to extend its so-called lifeline subsidy for low-income households from just phone lines to cellular data and broadband plans. Nova Safo reports.
In Brooklyn, New York, Tony Schloss can tell you stories of school students doing their homework outside so they can get access to public Wi-Fi because they don't have broadband at home in the low-income housing projects where they live.
The homework, most times it's online, whether sometimes it needs to be turned in online, other times the research occurs online.
Schloss works for a nonprofit that provides public Wi-Fi in Brooklyn's Red Hook community, much of which is housing projects.
Saving $10 goes a long way in communities like Red Hook.
Schloss says this could open up broadband to more homes. The FCC's changes to the Lifeline program could also go a long way in the telecom industry. Doug Brake of the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation says new companies will enter the Lifeline program.
The big addition that the FCC is hoping to bring in are a lot of the sort of cable providers. That will obviously bring additional, you know, competition and choice for qualifying participants.
The FCC wants to make it easier for companies to participate by reducing their administrative burden. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
And the Staples chain is really getting into the office supply business today. It'll announce a project in Boston where you can get communal office space at Staples stores. A startup company called WorkBar is coordinating. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.